Well, this is the third class, as Lyle said. We've got one more to go, and it's been amazing. This week, the classes have been holding up. In fact, up in Byfield last night, I had more the third week than I had the second week. And they fell just a little bit up in Leominster, and I think was just about the same level down in Newton. So you folks are coming back, and that's a good sign. You're sticking with it. Now, I find, however, between classes 3 and 4, there's a mild epidemic that takes place in the city. About 6 o'clock next week, you'll get a little dizzy. Spots form before your eyes. A little cold chill starts down your back and settles in your feet. And the only way you can get rid of it is get off your feet. About 9 o'clock, it mysteriously goes away. Isn't that funny? But you New Englanders, you're not going to let a little piece of paper keep you away, are you?
No way.
We'll see. Okay. Well, we've got one more to go. Next week, we're going to be pushing Operation Andrew. If you don't have a card already, we'll give you one and start you on Operation Andrew. We're going to be talking about nurture group follow-up and invite you to attend a training program, small group Bible studies, that will take place right after Easter. Two nights. One night a week for 2 weeks in about 5 different centers. And next week I'm going to introduce another Bible study here and a brand new study plan to go with it. A 5-week pastor's class that we hope pastors will get a hold of and many lay people in the church train to lead small groups until hundreds of people all over New England are trained to lead a small group Bible study into which thousands of people can be funneled when the crusade is over. And so next week will be an important week. And even though you don't plan to bring your application back, we don't want you to do it if God's not leading you to do it. You believe in the will of God, don't you?
Amen.
Well, all we ask you to do is pray, Father, should I be a counselor? And if he says yes, fill out the application and bring it back. If he says no, come back anyway, because next week is an important lesson on follow-up. So we'll look forward to seeing you back here next week. Now, in the back of your book, we have the third slip. If you're here for the first time, you'll have 3 slips. And I can get this announcement out of the way quickly and accomplish what I need to. When you finish counseling, you're going to fill out a card or fill in whichever you do in this book, which we will give you next week. It's 2-part. The top part is for you. The second card is for us. When you write on the white, it goes right through to the buff. We will be collecting these cards, take them into a gymnasium where about 200 people will be working, processing the cards so we can get them to the church that night. We want the pastor to have them the next day, and we also begin some other processing that will help us in follow-up. We need collectors. We need statistical people. We need typists, research people. We need people who will help us with filing and so on, refreshments. Bill Klemmer, how do you pronounce that? Klemmer, excuse me. 2 M's? Where's Bill? Right here. Come in up in the light, Bill. Bill, I don't know why he did this, but he volunteered to be the chief of the Coal Labor Corps. Give him a hand. And Bill's got a big job, but it's the most fun job of the whole crusade. I'll guarantee if you get involved, you'll find more spirit in the Coal Labor Corps than the choir, counseling, ushering, or any other facet of the crusade. You'll be working till 2 and 3 in the morning. Isn't that fun? No. If you can give us an hour, fine. 2 hours, better. 3 hours, a little better. You can decide how long you can work. Now, we would like you to tonight, if you'd like to have more information about the Coal Labor Corps, to check a box on the bottom. We will send you a questionnaire, invite you to a meeting. You can make a decision at that meeting whether or not you'd like to be involved. You're not committing yourself at all. You understand? Well, do it now, while the iron's hot. And then you can hand this slip in a little bit later. Don't forget the M&S for memory and study. And we'll have you hand the 10 slips in during the break while we're taking the offering. One other thing while you have your slips out there. Let me have your attention, please. Another announcement. Here it is. In June, we will be having a telecast in the area, three nights, the Houston Crusade. Now, we're praying that God will reach... This still has a little garble to it, doesn't it? Does it? Maybe I ought to move it down a little bit. We're praying that God will touch 12 to 1,500 people every night during the crusade. Here, in June, following the crusade, this is going to be a terrific follow-up, the telecasts. And we're suggesting that people like you plan now to invite several friends, couples, into your home. They could be your neighbors or just anyone you would like to have come in for a TV house party. Serve them a little coffee, refreshment. Tell them why they're coming. Turn on a television. View the program. And then we've got a set of questions for discussion that you'll use afterward. And trusting that God will touch additional hundreds of lives. Now, if you'd like our little manual on TV house parties, take this home and bring it back next week, the bottom of it. Or if you know you want it now, just put TV in the upper right-hand corner of your attendance slip. TV. That's all you need to do. We'll send you the manual on TV house parties. Okay? All right. Now we'll put that away. One other thing here. We're giving you tonight a little booklet called Born to Reproduce. The late Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, wrote this. It's a message, half of it. And the other half is a testimony of his life. I'd like you to read it before next week. All of us can be spiritual reproducers. And that's what this is all about. We get out and sharing our faith with others and investing in their lives. Born to reproduce. Okay? Now, I don't dare have you stand after what Dan said tonight. Where'd he go? Your wife wasn't put off with that, I hope. Where'd he go? She liked it, didn't she? I thought so. Did you? Yes, she did. That's right. Well, tonight, you know, I'm going to change it a little bit. I'm going to have you stand a little while and say, you know, you'd make a good counselor. How's that? Get ready for it. In fact, stand up and tell someone next to you, you'd make a good counselor. Go ahead. Let's get back to order here. Time's getting away. Turn to your memory work. Give you a little drill here. Lyle drilled you a little earlier. I'll drill you now. Man is sinful. Sin has a penalty. Christ paid the penalty. Salvation's a free gift. Quick, take a good deep breath. Okay, man is sinful. Man is sinful, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Sin has a penalty, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ paid the penalty, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Going a little too fast? Salvation, a free gift. Okay. Let's go. Salvation, a free gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not because of works, that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now, turn over to the RSV for the last two. The NIV said, Jesus said, I'm a gate. And I like the door better in John 10, 9 on the RSV. Some of you already have the new book and the King James is back into the book. How many of you do have the new book? Let me see your hand. Good. King James is back in it. Christ is our salvation. All together. Christ is our salvation. John 10, 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10, 9. We must receive him. John 1, 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. John 1, 12. Turn to page 31, please. Your homework. In the top of the box tells you to complete the study. And I would suggest that you do your Bible study before you fill out your counselor application. Do your Bible study before your application. Turn over to 32. Put some time in this. Won't take you a lot of time, but it's interesting. The seventh question, in his witness to the woman of Samaria and to Nicodemus, Jesus varied his approach. How was it different? Come up with some good answers to that. Study it. And get something out of Acts 8, Philip's witness to the Ethiopian. And so do your homework before you fill out your application. Now, there's a wrong reference in the box there, and we still have the anglicized spelling of memorize, and we've taken that out of the new books. It's supposed to be John 10, 9 instead of Revelation 3:20 in the box. Memorize John 10, 9 rather than Revelation 3:20. This is on the top of page 31. You see it? Memorize John 10, 9. Back to page 25. The first 2 weeks, we were challenging you to trust in the sovereignty of God, to walk in the Holy Spirit, let His fruit be seen in your life each day. We gave you 3 diagnostic tools last week, and so I guess it's time to relax a little bit and give you some tools here for witness. Of course, last week was really good tools for, they were good tools for witnessing and helping people. Second statement, do you have faith in the power and the sovereignty of God? Do you tonight? Do you? Do you believe He can use you in spite of your own weakness and inadequacy? Do you? What about the next? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you, make you courageous, help you in your work, and also work effectively in the lives of those to whom you will speak? Do you? Well, then fill out your application next week and hand it in. You said everything you need to say. Really? Really? Oh, everything you need to say. About 3/4 down, it says, remember your life is a great part of your witness. Second, earn the right to be heard by listening to others. I think most of us get so preoccupied with our own lives and what we're doing that we have very little time to touch lives of other people. Would you agree with that tonight? We're so busy going to work and back and forth, and we don't have time for the laundry man, for the barber, for anyone hardly, to even get acquainted with him, and let alone share our faith with him. Let's pray that God will give us a heart to reach out to people, become interested. You know, people are like kittens. You know, you scratch a cat's ear and they'll purr for you. You take a dog and scratch his chin and he'll hang around all day and just keep nudging you for more scratching. Well, people are the same way. You give them a little attention and my, they'll purr for you. And let's pray that God will give us this heart for people in the days ahead. Turn the page. In witnessing, remember you are not presenting a formula. Underline that. It's not a formula. The third line, underline, but rather the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're introducing people to Jesus, not to a lot of verses or to outlines. Meet my friend Jesus who lives in my heart. Meet Jesus, the person. Stress the love of God and keep it simple. Now keep open to page 27 and get out your little booklet. We gave you two of them tonight. Steps to Peace with God. We're going to have a good look tonight at a simple plan of sharing Jesus Christ. Three different ways, really. Three different ways. Little steps of peace of God. How many of you feel that you have the gift of evangelism? Could I see your hands? You have the gift. There's four of them in a row here. Wow. That's unusual. I don't feel like I have the gift of evangelism. Most of you don't. But all of us can be sharers or planters of the seed. Be good seed planters, can't we be? And let's pray tonight that God would get a hold of us and help us to be more faithful in sharing the good seed. I've got a verse here that's been bugging me a lot. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." A great door and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. Everywhere the door, maybe not necessarily open, but there's a mission field. Would you agree with that? Where we work, where we go to school, all kinds of people who need Jesus. When I was in the army, I had my greatest days of witness. Everywhere I went, there were unsaved people. I slept in barracks with them and marched with them and drilled with them. I had a fantastic opportunity of sharing Christ in the army. And many of us live around people and go to school with them and work. Let's pray that God will help us to be more faithful in sowing that seed. A great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, I don't know where I got this, but I've got written in my Bible several words here concerning adversaries. The adversary of sloth. The adversary of unbelief. Prayerlessness. Procrastination. Putting off. Not praying. We ought to start every day praying, "God, help me to be available, to touch a life, to witness to someone." And I'm convinced that God will bring people across our path when we're more concerned, aren't you? Amen. But do we pray every day, "God, help me today to bear witness to Jesus Christ"? And so, just before we start, let's pray again as we have these other meetings. And I want you to stand with me, stretch. Pray that God will help us to see the opportunities all around us and be more faithful to speak a word when the Holy Spirit gives opportunity. Bow your head. Pray right now, "God, stir my heart tonight. I work with people that are lost, and I'm not opening my mouth. I go to school with people that are lost, and Father, I'm not opening my mouth. Help me to start praying and believing and living the life. And Father, attract people to me like a magnet. And use me, even this coming week, to touch someone for Christ. In His blessed name we pray. Amen." Be seated. Now, I'm going to have to really hurry because we've got a lot of things to do here besides take an offering. But get the book out and keep the page 27 open. We're going to diagram, we're going to read, and then we're going to see a real witnessing tool in another setting. When you witness, you're on your own. Where you begin, where you end. When you counsel, you take over where the evangelist leaves off. But there are four words and there's parallel tracks, and on the top of page 27, some of you already, if you've got a new book, have these already written, but put down four words. Facts. The evangelist shares the facts, the gospel. Romans 1:16. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The facts, then the invitation. Dr. Graham always gives an invitation. We ought more often give an invitation. How many of you are a little timid at this point? Let me see your hand, honestly. Be honest here tonight. Lyle was asking for honest. Get them up. You're a little timid about it. Well, of course, this is the Holy Spirit's work, and you can force people to do anything, but the Holy Spirit must be at work if anything's going to happen. That's for sure. But we ought to pray for a little more courage. And then you pray. Dr. Graham will pray with all of those who come forward. And then the word of assurance. We need to assure the ones who have come forward and let them see what's happened and give them a good solid anchor for their faith. Now, it's at this point here that counselors enter the scene at the stadium. Billy Graham preaches, gives the invitation, the prayer of commitment, and then we give the word of assurance to see how clear they are, what further help they need, and what we can do to give them that assurance. There are parallel tracks, however, and we're going to run it for the next 25 minutes. So fasten your seatbelt. We're going to hurry them through this. Open the book to step one, little booklet, and read it out loud with me. In all of life, all together. In all of life, there's nothing more wonderful than discovering peace with God. Step one to this discovery is realizing God's plan, peace and life. God loves you and wants you to experience peace and life, abundant and eternal. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Circle peace with God. And underline through our Lord Jesus Christ. My question to you tonight is, do you have peace with God? Do you? Amen. Through Jesus Christ. You know, I pray and pray, and my prayer tonight is that some will find Christ. I've never had a class, but what someone finds Christ. I pray that you that do not have real assurance tonight, and could say like Paul, I know whom I have believed, that you'll be able to say tonight, praise God, I know where I am now. And many will rededicate their life to Christ, of course. But most of you tonight will say, this is a tool. I can grasp it. I can share it. And by the grace of God, I will share it in the days ahead. Read the next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Put your name right over world. God so loved Betty, John, and so on. Personalize it. I've had people tell me that that's how they came to Christ, by someone personalizing John 3:16 with them. And so you personalize it. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, how? More abundantly. Now, I don't have a little booklet. I'm in a restaurant. I've got a napkin. I've done this many times. In fact, I have been flying. Most of my opportunities come on airplanes. You know, you have someone there for 2 or 3 hours usually. And I remember a young sailor who had a big envelope with his duty orders in it, and we just took the back of that and diagrammed what we're going to diagram for you right now. I don't know what the captain said at the other end of the line, but you may not have an opportunity booklet. We'll show you how to diagram it. This is called the Navigator Bridge to Life. Now, Lyle and I have been known, we haven't known each other very long, but let's say that Lyle and I have been acquainted for some time, and I've been praying for him and looking for an opportunity of sharing with him. And so on the bottom of page 26, let me ask you to put down 2 or 3 things. It might be a good opener. Bottom of page 26. Ask the question, what is the most important thing in life? I've asked this many times. What to you is the most important thing in life? Well, Lyle might say education, and that's good. He might say health, because if you're not very healthy, you're not going to enjoy life. He could say a good job, and that's good, because we do want to make a good living. He might say, well, I think it's very important to be married properly. He could give me many answers to that. Ask these all through, I doubt seriously if he's going to say anything about eternity. I say, Lyle, you know what I think is the most important thing in life? Eternity. And where are you going to spend it? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Well, he's not too sure. Do you believe in life after death? Do you believe in heaven? There's any one of these questions. What determines whether you go one place or the other? He's still not sure. So let me help you, Lyle. So I stood out a piece of paper. Let's put down on page 27. God's plan, peace, and life. And I say, God, Lyle, God loves you. In fact, he sent his son to make life possible for you, eternal life. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. God does have a plan for our life, peace and life. And when God breathed breath into man, he made him an eternal being. And man is going to spend eternity somewhere. Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Can you nod your head positively? Come on now, let's get a little more nod there. Okay. And he wants us to live abundantly right now. And so, Lyle, God does love you, buddy, and he wants you to have his life and his abundant life right now. All right, now back to a little booklet. What did I do with mine? I lost it. Here it is. Since, all together, since God planned for us to have peace and the abundant life right now, why are most people not having this experience? Step two is acknowledging man's problem, separation. God created man in his own image and gave him an abundant life. He did not make him as a robot to automatically love and obey him, but gave him a will and a freedom of choice. Circle robot. We're not robots tonight. But God gave us a will, circle will, and underline freedom of choice. And that will must be bent. Dr. Graham has often said there are three little men in a decision. The little man of emotion, and you can cry buckets of tears and not be saved, is that right? The second little man of intellect, and he studies. He doesn't want to be hoodwinked. And you know many times your intellect can get you into trouble. The third little man of the will must be bent. You know, my dad was 78 years of age when he trusted Christ. I can remember his mother coming to our home. My dad left home when I was 2 years of age. I don't even remember my dad being at home. And she said, Charles, you need to pray for your dad. He doesn't know the Lord. And for years and years and years, all of us prayed for him. After a while, we found where he was. In fact, I began to visit him. I was in the Army, became an officer, and he became very proud of that. Every time I got a leave, I'd go and visit him. And I'd try to get under the subject of spiritual things, but he was very hard to approach. He told me one time that his worst sin was chewing tobacco. He took no responsibility whatsoever for leaving a mother with eight children. I was the seventh of the eight. It was all her fault. Of course, I could have almost punched him in the nose for saying that because I knew my mother. We were very close together. But we prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. And finally, at the age of 78, he opened his life to Jesus Christ. He would not bend that will. And the will must be bent to say, I am a sinner. I say this to encourage some of you that are praying for your folks. Some of you may have prayed for a long time. A long time, my brother and I were the only ones in the family that knew Jesus. But now all of us know Christ in our family, and many of our grandchildren and nieces and nephews know Jesus Christ. And so God works. Sometimes it takes a little while to do it, but it takes place. Man chose to disobey God and go his own willful way. Man still makes this choice today. This results in separation from God. Read with me. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Circle gift in the first word of the second line. Some of you are taking evangelism explosion. Kennedy, this is one of their key verses on witnessing, and it's a good verse. The wages of sin is death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so have you received the gift? Have you received the gift? Man through the ages has tried to bridge this gap in many ways without success, and you have the bridge of good works, religion, philosophy, morality, but all of these have failed. Religion is man's attempt to get to God, but Christianity is God coming the man through the cross. Is that right? All right, I'm back over here to Lyle now. Lyle, God does love you, and he wants you to have his peace in life. But man has a problem. Let's put it down on page 27. Man's problem is... Get down here. Separation. Let me illustrate. Boy, this is sticky here. Down the bottom of the page, about an inch up, put God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made man in his own what? Image. Made them for fellowship. Made man for fellowship. And the two walked together. God and man walked together in the garden, and they enjoyed each other. But God didn't make man like a robot who would automatically love and obey him. He gave him a will and a freedom of choice, and one day man decided to go his own way and rebelled against God, and it's called sin. There's been a chasm ever since between God and man, the chasm of sin. Romans 5:12, under man, if you put it down, some of you may know it. Romans 5:12, if you know it, say it with me. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Ever since Adam sinned, all mankind has been born on this side of the chasm. Do you agree with that? I have three children, all born over here. Genesis 2:16 and 17. God put the man in the garden and said, of every tree you may freely eat, but one tree, don't touch it. The day you touch it, you'll what? Die. And when you tell someone they can't do something, what do they want to do? They want to do it. Genesis 3:6, the devil came along and caused the woman to doubt God's word. She said, you won't surely die. She took the fruit and ate, gave it to her husband, and this is what happened right here. So we have a chasm. Back to our little transitional phrase here. There. Read it with me. There is only one remedy for this problem of separation. Step three is recognizing God's remedy, the cross. Jesus Christ is the only answer, circle only, the only answer to this problem of separation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, he paid the penalty for our sin and bridged the gap from God to man. His death and resurrection make a new life possible for all who believe. Circle all. All, and underline who believe. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Now, some people may put up a smoke screen sometime and say, well, what about the heathen that have never heard? Have you read in this book yet the late Paul Little's Seven Questions Most Often Asked, starting on page 33? How many have? Nod your head. Have you? Get into it. Some good answers in there. People put up smoke screens quite often. But Jesus Christ is the only answer for us because we know the truth. Is that right? God is on one side and all the people on the other side. Jesus himself, man between them to bring them together. Read with me. The Bible says, God commendeth, showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now there are four truths in this next verse, circle them, that have to do with salvation. Three words and one combination of words. Circle four different spiritual truths relating to salvation. What's the first one? Saved by grace. Now that's unmerited favor. Through what? Faith. Billy Graham will always end his message by saying, you must receive Christ by faith. And I've heard him say this. You don't have to understand what it all means. He said, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter. Do you? But I enjoy the milk and the butter. So we're reaching out. We know we have a need, and we're reaching out by faith. It's the what? Gift of God. And how do you get a gift? Just receive it freely. And it's not of what? Not of works. This is an excellent verse to use in witnessing, especially people who are trying to make it on their own. I had a university student in my home some time ago from Venezuela, and we pushed the chairs back after lunch on Sunday, dinner on Sunday, and we took about 2 hours in this book, and we spent a great deal of time on this verse right here. Now, I've got to finish, get Lyle fixed up over here, back to him. Lyle, God's plan is peace and life. God does love you, but man has a problem. It's one of separation. But thank the Lord for God's remedy. God's remedy, the cross. So let's sketch it in the bottom. The cross of Christ is the bridge back to God. And you notice that blots out the sin. The cross blots out the sin. You can put John 3:16 right in there if you like. John 3:16. And so the cross is the bridge. Let's stand and sing, "Would You Be Free from Your Burden of Sin?" There's somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll stir each one of us more deeply concerning why we're here. I pray for myself, Lord, that You won't let me sleep, if necessary, nights until I get a burden for lost people who are going to hell without Christ. So, Lord, we pray You'll help us to see the cross in a new light, and that it's our responsibilities as ambassadors for Christ to share our faith with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, shake hands with somebody you haven't met before. Is that all right, Dan? Open up your book. You know, this class is normally the hardest one to teach, and I think the reason being that Satan hates more than anything for God's people to start sharing their faith. Is that right? We were in Berlin a few years ago, and before they built the wall, and we had our tent, a huge tents the Germans built right on the grounds of the Reichstag, within two stone throws of the Brandenburg Gate, and people streamed over from East Berlin to attend the meetings. And the communist authorities in East Berlin were chagrined about the flow of people. They tried everything to get them to move the tent. And if you remember reading Time magazine, Willy Brandt was then the mayor, and they said, "Get this thing out of here." Willy said, "This is nothing to do with politics." And so one of the newspapers, trying to stir up a little smut, said, put it in the paper, "While evangelist Billy Graham is gallivanting all over Europe, his wife is staying at home milking the cows on the farm, and Mr. Graham is in and out of expensive hotels with a blonde, voluptuous singer on his arm, and her name is Beverly Shea." How many of you don't know Beverly Shea? What is about, Ron, what is he, about 250 pounds, 6'4" baritone? Where is Ron tonight? I don't spot him. Where are you? I'm going to counsel you later. The devil hates what we're doing. Right. Okay. God, bottom of step three, God has provided. All together, God has provided the only way. Man must make the choice. Turn the page. Step four is making man's response, receive Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive Him by personal invitation. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Christ is speaking. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." Now, we took Revelation 3:20 out of this book, and we didn't get it back in again because the Australians told us they did not want Revelation 3:20 in the study. They said, "This is written in the context of the church." Well, I had flown for 2 days to get over there and spent the Monday morning in discussion with these people about it, and I felt like packing and going back home again. But the Lord said, "Well, hang on." I said, "What do you want to put in its place?" So they said, "Put John 10:9." Well, one place Christ is the door, and in one place He's knocking at the door. So you use Revelation 3:20 regularly, don't you? It's a good picture, so continue to use it. Read with me. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For if with your lips you acknowledge the fact that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, you notice here's where you come to the invitation. You've got right above the cross, are you here or here? Make your mark right now. Where are you? Are you here or here? I had a couple stay after a class very recently. Sit there for a long time because I had to go and do some instructing of the interviewers, and they were waiting a half hour afterward. They said they didn't know where to put their mark. And I had the wonderful privilege of showing them how easy it was to come into God's family. And I'm sure there are people here tonight, you don't know where to put your mark. Well, praise the Lord, he's available and he wants more than anything else to give you his life by simple faith. After Romans 10:9, it says, is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? And that's a good question. Is there any reason why you can't? You don't know where you are? You want to receive him? Here's what you do. Admit your need. Be willing to turn from your sin. Believe that Jesus died for you. And through faith, invite him into your life. Well, I must get back to Lyle here. And so, we've got God's plan, man's problem, God's remedy, and man's response. Receive Christ. Now, I'm drawing this out on a napkin. I get down to this point. Say, Ron, Lyle, if this illustration's true, and you do this, and I've done this many times, if this illustration's true, then all of mankind will come on one side of the cross, the line or the other. Those who tonight, by faith, are in God's family, and multitudes, though they may be living upright lives, even in church, but they've never personally trusted Jesus Christ. And I'd hand in my pen and say, where are you? And I've had people put marks as close as this to the line, but on the wrong side of it. I remember one insurance executive, there was no way that I could get him across. He said, I know I'm not saved. I'm reading a book right now by Billy Graham, World of Flame. You can't push people into the kingdom. They need to be willing to receive Christ by faith. But you come to this point then, and you get a reaction. You come to the invitation. Are you willing? Acts 3:19. And put a big R after it. Acts 3:19. And then John 1:12. Billy Graham will always begin the invitation with, you must repent of your sin. Be willing to repent. Turn from your sin. And receive Jesus Christ by faith. This verse says, repent and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. Open your life and receive Christ. And when Dr. Graham gives the invitation, people will be coming from all over the stadium, and we'll have counselors in every section of the stadium. And we'll send counselors down with inquirers, sex for sex and age for age, as far as possible. And they will come down and stand in front of the platform for counseling, and this will be the counseling area right down in front of the platform, as hundreds of people come night after night and stand there before the platform. Dr. Graham will say a few words to them and say, coming forward doesn't save you, but it's an indication that God's working in your heart. If you want Christ tonight, I want you to pray this prayer out loud after me. And so we come to the prayer then. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Lyle, not sure where he stands. In fact, he puts a mark over here. He knows he's not saved. And I ask him, are you willing to turn from your sin, Lyle, and open your heart to Christ? He said, yes. So I said, Lyle, let's pray together. Turn the page. Do you have a prayer that's similar to what Dr. Graham will be using? Read it out loud with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to serve you for my sins. I now invite you into my heart and life. I want to trust you as Savior and follow you as Lord. In the fellowship of your church, that's the new book. And we had this statement in and they took it out, but it's back in again in the new book. follow you as Lord in the fellowship of your church. Simple prayer, just announcing, telling God, I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I believe Jesus died to save me. Right now I turn from my sin and I open my heart and receive Christ. Christ is only a prayer away. That's about what it amounts to. And some of you tonight could say that prayer and ask Christ to come into your life. How many of you under Dr. Graham's ministry through television, crusade, radio, otherwise made your commitment to Christ? Could I see your hands? Let's stand up for us. They're all over the place. Let's see who we are. All up in the back. Look at the folks here. Look at them here. Great. Sit down, please. Now, we know not everyone that comes forward means business. We know that. But thank the Lord we have case histories by the thousands of people who made their peace with God. And so people come and stand in front of the platform and open their lives to Jesus Christ. Dr. Graham will say a few words to them and say, standing next to you is a counselor. They're here to help you. And it's at this point that the counselor comes in. Then you're standing there, maybe chewing your fingernail a little. How many are fingernail chewers? Shivering a little bit? You'll get over it, believe me. And we'll get to this now right after the break. But Lyle has prayed to receive Christ. Let's look at the blue page, God's assurance, His Word. Did you pray this prayer? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that statement? We sing a song, don't we? Whosoever surely meaneth me. Did you sincerely ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, Lyle? Where is He right now? And He ought to be able to respond positively in my life, in my heart. Is that right? I had a person from the university come up to me one time. Say, you know, I think you may be making a mistake asking people to ask Jesus into their heart. They may get a little confused. How big is He? They may wonder, you know. This person said we ought to ask them to appropriate Jesus Christ. Well, that's a little harder, isn't it? Colossians 1:27, Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Ephesians 3:17, that Christ might dwell in your heart. How? By faith. You all know Galatians 2:20. Paul said, Christ liveth in me, right? So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. A little girl was asked by her daddy one time in a meeting. She went forward. Daddy said, what did you do, honey? She said, give me your pen, Daddy. And she took a pen and a piece of paper and she drew a heart and she wrote Christ in it. You know, the simplest definition of a Christian is one in whose heart Christ dwells. Is that right? Is He in your heart tonight? Definitely. Let's read the word of assurance. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life right now, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Circle know in the next to last line. Second word from the left. You know you have eternal life. I pray tonight that if some of you are not sure, tonight you'll say, I'm on God's side of the cross. I'm in God's family. I know it now. I believe it with all my heart. I know how I'm saved. And you'll be able to share it then with others. Now, we've given you two books. And Lyle, I think, made the statement or prayed that we would really put to work our faith. We're going to ask you this week to share with someone else. Now, if you've got a dog, get your dog to sit down and give it to him first. Then I'll tell you how to reach a loved one. Go up to Aunt Mamie and say, you know, I've been watching you for about 15 years, and I just can't believe you're a Christian by the way you live. Now, that's the way to open it. She's liable to give you a cuff. Here's the way to do it. Say, I'm taking a course. And I've been asked to share a booklet. And I'd like to get your reaction to it. Now, you're appealing to the intellect now. And as you go through this thing, you get down here to this page and she's following you along, or he is. Now, Aunt Mamie, which side are you on? And she may smile and say, honey, thank the Lord when I was a girl of 12, I let Jesus into my life. Or she may say, you know, I've wondered about that for a long time. Thank you for sharing this with me. We've heard some fantastic stories after the third week. I shared with the executive on Wednesday morning, a lady in her late 60s told me in San Jose, and her pastor sitting next to her, I led my dad of 92 years of age to Jesus Christ after the third class. And her pastor stood up and said, for 15 years we've been praying for that man. Time won't allow, but I could tell you story after story of my own experience and experience. We want you to share your faith this week. We're not going to check up on you next week and say, how about it now, did you? But I pray you get out there and share your faith. Now, this is the night of the offering. And we need $10,000 here tonight, and we're all going to give an offering. I've got mine ready. In fact, if we all give $10, we'll have about $14,000. That's not bad. We've got a crusade chairman here tonight, and I know he'd appreciate it if we could announce after this class tonight that we got between $10,000 and $15,000. You're not paying for any materials. Not at all. You're giving an offering as an investment in the souls of individuals. And every penny you give is going to be used to reach others for Christ. Now, we want everyone tonight to use the envelope. Everyone. Everyone use the envelope. There is a card in there if you'd like to pledge over the period of 3 months. April, March, April, or May. If you want to be a pledge so much, use the card. But everyone, even if you're giving 2 cents, put your money in the envelope and seal it. Not your tennis slip, but your money in the envelope. If you want to write out a check, just write it out to Charlie Riggs, and I'll go south for the rest of the winter. No, just write it out to the Billy Graham Crusade. That's all you need, Billy Graham Crusade. Give a generous offering here tonight, and we're going to announce at the close of the class how much you gave. Take out your counselor application form. Counselor application form. And hang it out like this. If you fold it and write on it, you'll mess up our carbon copy. Number 7, I have attended classes. How many have been to all 3 classes? Right now, circle 1, 2, 3. Circle 3 classes. If you missed the second one, don't circle the second one. I've attended 3 classes. Next week, when you bring your application back, circle the 4th one. I've completed Bible study assignments for classes. If you've done your homework, circle 1, 2. I have memorized all verses to date. If not, how many? Do you wish to counsel children 11 and under? Listen very carefully. We do not want anyone under 25 to say, I want to counsel children. We want you for your own age group. That's our greatest need, about 13 to 25. And if you do sign up for children, you're over 25, be sure you have real experience helping children. Now turn to the back, please. There's a statement in the middle of the page. It says, briefly answer these questions and use a scripture with each of your answers. 4:14, what is man's basic problem? What was God's remedy? How must man respond? Have you ever seen that outline before? Did you get some verses? This book is full of them. And the Bible study this week is full of them, and you're going to see them again before we're through. Now, here's what we want you to do. Write a brief answer and give at least one verse with each answer so we'll know where you're coming from. And when I say brief, don't put down man's basic spiritual problem of sin. What was God's remedy? Christ's death. How must man respond? Believe. We don't want it that brief. Put a little more with it and write your testimony and sign it and bring it back next week and hand it in. A through what was it? M, before. Now, if you can't remember that, we'll take it before anyway. We're going to have tables at the front, tables in the foyer, tables downstairs, and you'll be directed to a supervisor who will receive your application, either before the class or after. Some of you might say, well, I don't know how many classes, meetings I can attend at the stadium, so I don't think I'll do it. Friends, if you don't attend one service after you get your badge, we will not know that. We're not keeping any record. So don't let that be an excuse. Some might say, well, I'm just not qualified. Well, the best way to find out is fill out the application, hand it in, and if they flunk you, then you'll know you're not qualified. You won't have to go through life wondering, will you? So we'll see you next week with your application. Now, I've got just 15 minutes, and you know I told you Ron's having a hard time getting through this course. This is Ron right here. And I'm going to do everything I can to help him. So I'm going to counsel him now in the next 15 minutes. All right? Take out the little commitment folder. Ron is a good guy. We have a lot of fun together. Come up here, Ron. You don't have to say too much there. Just nod your head once in a while. Don't give me any trouble. Now, here's the book, counseling book, right here. And the commitment folder will be found in this book. Unless it's children, you'll have a different color book, same size, a little different folder inside the book. Dr. Graham will say, standing next to you is a counselor. They're here to help you. And so I'll stick my hand out, say, my name is Charlie Riggs. What's your name?
Ron Shea.
Ron Shea. Well, Ron, Billy Graham has mentioned that someone is here to help you tonight, and I have the privilege. I pray that before you leave here tonight, you'll have your questions answered. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that you have to use this commitment folder, but I think by the time we're through with it, and we've got about 13 minutes to at least introduce it to you. By the way, on the bottom of the page one, put down page 29 for your instructions. Page 29 in this book, right here, where's my book? On page 29, you'll find full instructions how to use this folder. I'll give you a little brief of it tonight. Page 29. Now, you could ask a person, what decision are you making tonight? And they may say, well, I came to get a better look at Billy Graham, and many do come down for that reason. Some come to take a picture of Billy Graham. But seriously, in every case, ask them, have you ever made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior? Ask everyone that. I've asked people who have come down for other reasons and found before they left that they made commitments to Christ. A boy in Atlanta was having trouble with a young man. So he said, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And the young man said, Cleveland, Ohio. He said, why Cleveland? He said, I live there. I'm only visiting Atlanta. So, this is an icebreaker here. It's an icebreaker, and at least it puts you on the track. And I'm going to show you the versatility of it. Now, I hand this to Ron. I say, Ron, would you mind checking the box that best indicates the action that you're taking tonight? And while he's looking at it, what am I doing? Praying. You better be anyway. It'll take him 15 seconds or 20 seconds, and he hands it back to me. He checks number one. I realize I'm a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I now turn from my sins and receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. I say, Ron, tonight you're telling me you're coming to Christ to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Is that right? Now, I could say, Ron, is this the first time you've done it? He may say, well, I've done this many times. Then why do you feel you need to come tonight again? We could get into a long discussion on that. And let me tell you something at this point. If someone comes down and gives you a big flap, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God, or tries to give you some other trouble, and you feel overwhelmed, just raise your hand. And men like Lyle and 300 supervisors are going to stand around to step right up there and take on that person that's giving you fits. Now, we're just going to give you the track here tonight, and believe me, God is at work, and I've used this many times. I've counseled as many as 7 in a week, and people are down there for business, most of them. Not to fool around. But you might find some wise guy. And if you do, just like this. And Lila, come over and take him on. Okay. But Ryan, you've come in to trust Jesus Christ. All right, flip over to the back. Every one of you. 6, page 6. Have you ever seen that outline before? Let's say it together. God's plan is peace and life. Man's problem is separation. God's remedy, the cross. Man's response, receive Christ. Now here, Ron comes out of the stands. He's never seen me before, you know. That may be one problem right there. But he knows that he's got a need in his life. No doubt about it. But he still may be in a little fog about how that need can be met. Billy Graham has prayed with him, but he still, you know, emotionally, his mind is other places perhaps, and he's not quite clear. So we like to give a little perspective. And so I'd say, Ron, let me just take about 3 minutes to give you a little perspective of what Dr. Graham said in his message tonight, because I want you to be clear as can be. Ron, and you can read the pink if you like. Read this if you like. I'd rather ad lib it if you could. But here, Ron, God does want you to have his peace and life. In fact, the cross represents Christ dying for the sins of the whole world, that we might know the forgiveness of our sin and the promise of everlasting life. But Ron, we have a problem. Being at peace with God is not automatic, because you, in fact, we ought to put we by nature, are separated from God. I was preaching in a mission in Skid Row in Chicago a few years ago, and I was really coming down, "You're a sinner, and you're a sinner." And about the third time, one of the men called back and said, "So are you." And so I've learned to say we. We by nature are sinners, separated from God. In fact, the Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Here we have man trying to get across the bridge in many different ways. Ron, I can remember as a lad going forward, I don't know how many times, kneeling at the altar, crying. Nothing ever happened. You can take a pig out of the muck, give him a bath, put a ribbon on him, a little Chanel. He looks good and smells good. Where does he go when you let him go?
Right back in.
Right back again, because his nature's not. That's his nature. And this is true with many people. They can go forward. They can do a lot of things without really being born again. And I trust tonight, Ron, you'll find that you're getting a new nature. Jesus Christ coming into your life, the Holy Spirit to dwell. And so it's not what we did, but what he did. Or what we did, but what he did. And thank the Lord, God's remedy is the cross. His love bridges the gap between God and man. The cross of Jesus Christ. This verse says he bore our own sins in his own body. That's what he did on the cross. He died for you and he died for me to pay the penalty for our sin. And Ron, we cross the bridge into God's family simply by faith, believing, receiving him, trusting him, asking Christ to come into our life. The invitation Dr. Graham extended to you was to repent, turn from your sin by faith, receive Christ into your heart and life, and follow him in obedience in the fellowship of his church. Now, this word Lord, circle it in your under invitation. Follow him in obedience as the Lord, as Lord and Savior. Ron, this isn't an easy trip from the stand down to the platform and saying a prayer and then going your own merry way. You're committing yourself to Jesus Christ for time and eternity. You're under new management. You're going to live for him now. You just can't go back and live any way you want to live. In a moment, I'm going to give you a Bible study to help you on the right track. But remember this. This is total commitment to Jesus Christ. You prayed a prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart and life. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you now for saving me. Did you pray with Dr. Graham a moment ago? Ask him to come into your life. Did you mean it? Once in a while, you get someone that's a little fuzzy, and I've had to say to them, you're not sure. You didn't know what you were doing a moment ago, but you want Christ tonight more than anything else. Is that right? Well, let's pray it again. And this time, make it your prayer. Tell God you know you're a sinner, that you're willing to turn from your sin and open your... And so, page 2. Turn to page 2. This is the anchor now. Remember, tear up this little book here, and tear this up if the Holy Spirit's not at work. This is his work. You agree with that, don't you? I can't save anyone. Billy Graham never saved anyone. Man is saved, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And so pray that the Holy Spirit's at work. Ron, let me give you a little anchor for your faith. I want you to write now as we go along, and this is what you do with the inquiry. Ron, this is what happened. You prayed the prayer with the evangelist. What does the Bible say happened? Read out loud with me. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." What did Jesus say about himself? "I am the door." You see, Ron, the cross is the door to eternity. And when you come to the cross, you come to Christ, you receive Him, you have eternal life. You're saved. That's a good word. Salvation means deliverance from sin and its consequence. What else? What will happen when a person enters, receives Christ? He will be saved. And on the authority of the Word of God tonight, Ron, if you believe it and you mean business, you're saved now from sin. Isn't that a great... That ought to give you some joy in your heart, right? No more of a burden for your sin. That ought to be a release there. Here's something else wonderful happened. But as many as received Him, He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. What happened, Ron, when you received Him? I became a child of God. So the first passage deals with salvation. This one deals with sonship. You were born into the Shea family, I don't know how many years ago, 21, I suppose, at least. You got a birth certificate? This is your spiritual birth certificate. Anytime the devil causes you any doubt, say, I receive Jesus Christ. I'm God's son. I'm in His family. You can say it with that authority if you believe the Bible, believe God's word. Here's something else wonderful. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Now that you believe in Jesus Christ, what can you say with assurance? I have eternal life. It's not something you're going to begin someday, Ron. You now have eternal life. It's a quality of life, a new life that God gives you, and you're going to enjoy this new life in Christ. Now, here's your anchor. How do you know you're saved? You're a child of God. You have eternal life. Say it out loud with me. I know because God said it in His Word. I believe it in my heart. That settles it in my mind. And so, Ron, God bless you tonight. I can tell you that Christ is in your life if you believe. It's a new life. And in a moment, we're going to pray and give you this booklet and show you how to start on this new walk with Him. See you later. Thank you, Ron. Okay, now, I've got to do a lot in about 3 or 4 minutes. Back to the front page. Ron doesn't check one, he checks two. And you see a box there, too? Just to the front of it, just put when. When did you receive Him? Ron, you say you received Him, but you've gotten away from Him. Or you have the doubt your salvation. When did you receive Him? And so he gives me a fairly clear statement of faith. Well, his dad led him to Christ, or he came to Christ in an evangelistic meeting. And I have no doubt, reason to doubt it. I wish we had spiritual Geiger counters so that we could get so many bleeps, you know, if people were responding positively. But I turn then to page 3. So if you turn to page 3. In fact, when we close tonight, we want all of you who are going to be counselors to go down through page 3 with the one beside you. One the counselee, the other the counselor. And work your way down through the assurance page. Back to the front of it. Page, this first page. Ron didn't check 2, he checked 3. Didn't check 1 or 2, he checked 3. He said, I have received Christ, but I failed Him, and I want His forgiveness. Put when in front of it. So I say, Ron, when did you receive Him? And he tells me, and I feel comfortable about his commitment. So I turn to page 4, and that's the diagram we went over with you last week, one of the diagnostic tools, and I helped Ron then to come back into fellowship. He says, what must we do to be forgiven? What does God say if we will confess? And so we fill this out and show him how through confession of his sin before God, he can get back into the family in faith, abiding in Him and back on God's pathway. He doesn't confess to me, he confesses to God. I give him that moment. And then we'll finish the page with him. And we want you tonight, as you pair off, to do pages 3 and 4. Back to the front of it, please. He checks 4 instead of 3. 1, 2, or 3. I have received Christ, and I'm enjoying my salvation. When did you receive Him, Ron? And he tells me, he's quite clear about it. I have no reason to doubt it. So I start him on the Bible study and say, I pray that this will help you in your commitment now, today. He checks 5 instead of 1, 2, 3, 4. And I say, Ron, when did you receive Him? And he tells me, seems quite clear. I said, okay, what's your problem? And he tells me his problem. If I don't feel like I'm adequate to help him in his problem, I raise my hand. And his supervisor comes over, and right down at the front of the platform here, we are going to have 30 to 40 specialists. Drugs, alcohol, family abuse, homosexuals, you name it. We'll have them right down here to help anyone with a problem so you don't have to get over your head any time in helping people. Now, when you ask the when, they're a little fuzzy about it. Now, well, I've always been a Christian. I joined the church when I was 14. Let me suggest a little probing to do. Put under when if. And I'd say to Ron, if he's a little fuzzy, I'd say, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Now, you use that in your work here, I believe. And he says, well, I hope so. I'd like to think so. Another question. Why should God allow you, accept you into his heaven? Ron, well, I've always lived a good life and so on. Is that right? I had an engineer. Doug, would you go to heaven? Well, he'd hoped he would. Why should God accept you? Well, he said, I've always lived a good life. I've been a good churchman and all the rest. I said, Doug, everything you've said is what you've done. Turn to page 5. We got a little check test. The first scripture has to do with why Christ died. Look at the second one. By grace you've been saved through faith. We circled the words in there. And then we got through. I said, Doug, it says saved how? And we wrote down by grace through faith. I said, Doug, everything you've told me about your salvation had to do with what you did, not with what Christ did. Could I just share something with you? And I went down page 6 with him. Took about 4 or 5 minutes to go down page 6 to put it in proper perspective. We got down to the bottom of the page and I said, Doug, can you ever remember a time in your life when Jesus Christ came into your life? You entered into a personal relationship with him. He became real to you as your personal Savior and Lord. And Doug had to admit that he had. And I said, Doug, why not do it right now? And we prayed, and Doug asked Christ to come in. I said, would you like to change your mark on here? And he moved from 4 up to 1. This was a Thursday night. I said, Doug, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? He looked at his book, didn't have anything. I said, let's meet together. We met at the Chick-fil-A, a nice little place outside of town. I said, memorize John 3:16 by tomorrow and start on your Bible study. He had John 3:16 memorized and had part of his Bible study done. I got a beautiful 3-page letter from him not long after that, telling me what difference now his life has been, family life, business life, and church life. You know, getting right with God can make a lot of difference in a person's life. I counseled 7 people in Albuquerque, and I think 3 of the 7 had another thing checked than the right after I asked the if and the why. And that's all we ask you to do, is do a little further probing. We would hope that after the person leaves you and you ask, why should God accept you in heaven? They ought to be able to say something simple, at least. I know because I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. He's in my heart. He's my Savior. Christ is my Savior. He lives in my life. Now, I'm not saying that people who can't articulate clearly are necessarily lost. But I'll tell you this. It's like a picture puzzle. You have 8 pieces. You have a picture. Break it up. You have 8 pieces but no picture. A lot of people have a lot of the parts. You ask them one question after another and they'll yes, that's right. But they don't have it together. They simply don't realize the simple message that there's salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and as a result of it, they're bobbing around like corks at sea. And we'd like to help them to get this settled once and for all and begin walking then as a newborn babe in Christ. Is that right? And so just use a little of your own initiative, your own testimony. This is a skeleton, and you put the meat on by your own life, whatever you can share. It's a skeleton. If you got other verses, better ones, better illustrations, put it with it. This, however, gives you a starting point. It's an icebreaker. You understand? Now, do we have an announcement? Where's the man with the count? We gave so much tonight, it's taken him a long time to count it. Where's the man with the count? Pardon? Not here yet. Well, let's sing the doxology anyway. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Lord willing, are coming back next week. I know one's coming back here.
They should have this every week.
Bring your application in, and even though you don't hand it in, come anyway. We'll show you some things in follow-up and get you to help us in follow-up. Now, there were about 80 people who were notified that they should go to the lower room for some instruction, and Lyle, if you'd lead them down there and give them the where'd he go? Give them the instructions. Here's what we want you to do, friends. You're not in any hurry at all. Friday night, nothing to do tomorrow. So if you're going to be counselors, now listen carefully. Seriously. Get acquainted with the tool. You'll be using it over there. Page 3 and page 4, because about 20 to 25% are checking the second one on assurance, and the third one on rededication. Learn how to use it and be able to help them even in these commitments. So we want you to pair off and do pages 3 and 4. One be the counselor, the other the counselor. And then switch roles as you do page 3, then switch on page 4. The counselee becomes the counselor. Do we have a count yet? Where's the man with a count? Here he comes with it. Folks, we'll give it to you before you leave.
I'm happy to announce that we do not have a count tonight.
He's got it, hasn't he?
No, he doesn't. There's no way. A lot of people didn't write the amounts on. The indication is that we're going to clear the 10,000 mark easily with what they've counted so far.
Praise the Lord. Well, we stay in the doxology already.